The Board of Education meeting will now come to order. Mr. Ellis, will you lead us in the pledge?
To the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Thank you. Please call the roll. Call the roll.
Mr. Kenwood?
Here.
Mr. Bondurant?
Here.
Mr. Smith?
Here.
Mrs. Howard?
Here.
Mr. Black?
Here.
Mr. Ellis?
Here.
Mrs. Nelson?
Here. Is there anyone here who would like to address the board at this time? All right, thank you. The board has determined it has a need to adjourn to closed session to discuss the following matters: the appointment, employment, compensation, discipline, performance, or dismissal of specific employees of the district or legal counsel for the district, including hearing testimony on a complaint lodged against an employee or against legal counsel for the district to determine its validity. May I have a motion to adjourn to closed session?
Motion.
Second.
Thank you. Roll call, please.
Mr. Bondurant?
Yes.
Mrs. Howard?
Yes.
Mr. Black?
Yes.
Mr. Ellis?
Yes.
Mr. Smith?
Yes.
Mr. Kenwood?
Yes.
Mrs. Nelson?
Yes. Thank you.
We will resume in just a few minutes. So if you don't mind just kind of wandering around out there, we'll come get you in just a couple minutes.
Resuming open session meeting at 7:41 p.m. Thank you very much.
Thanks for your patience.
Okay, presentations, reports, and initiative updates.
Well, we have a special presentation this evening that's also related to a discussion item for board business a little later, and we felt that the best way for you to understand this presentation or this discussion item later on Smart Music was to invite Mr. DiPaolo to come here and help demonstrate what Smart Music is really all about. It will give you a much better idea of the value of this proposal that we have later on the agenda. So without further ado, I'm going to let Jim take over.
Well, good evening, everyone. Thank you. As Ms. Reebok said, I'm Jim DiPaolo, the band director at Hadley Junior High School. It's my second year there. It's been a wonderful experience. I love doing it. And this is a great opportunity we have that I want to bring to everyone tonight. And I have some people here who also teach with me, who have music teachers in the district. And I'd like them to stand up and introduce themselves so we know who's here. So stand up, all music teachers.
Jan Reeland, beginning band all over the district.
Jennifer Vasquez,
all the orchestra. Hi, I'm Wendy
Delaney.
I'm the music teacher at Lincoln
Dinmar. Eric Rubio, assistant band, my first year at Hadley.
So, this program is a next slide. It's an interactive music software program where students can play their instrument into the computer, and it helps us grade them. It does many things to them, as you'll see as we go through this. But basically, it's an interactive music software program that students will use at home. So the district purchases this at a discounted rate, because we buy one for every student, and the students are able to use it at home. And we also have, as teachers, we end up with a website, kind of like our Pinnacle, if you're familiar with Pinnacle, that we used to grade with, that they deal with, that Smart Music deals with, and every student who signs up, when they sign up as, you know, Kristen Von Drick in Mr. DiPaolo's first period class. And then every time I open it up, I'll have my first period class, just like you would in Pinnacle, and I can send her messages, so I can click on that class and say, don't forget to practice this song, so that, just like you would do with any other program. All the parents, when you do sign this up, every parent signs up their email also. So I can email parents, or we can email parents. So if someone plays you and plays something really well, just click on send to parent. You can write a little note to that parent. Listen to your child play the flute, blah, blah, blah. And we get really pretty amazing. We can send mass emails to all the students and all the parents also, so they know everything that's going on. We can do that at school now with our other stuff. But this would be more related to what we're going to do in class. So what it does, Smart Music, it organizes the way a child practices, because it'll tell them on the computer, it's computerized, to show them what they need to practice. All the stuff that they're going to practice is on the library, the Smart Music library. We as teachers need to pick stuff that's on the library, because every piece of music in the world is not on the library. They add to it. So our job is to get the right piece of music. So the lesson books, for instance, that we're using in class this year are all on smart music. So those kids, when they go home and practice, they can open up to whatever the song is that we're playing in that class and practice it. And I'll show you how they practice and stuff, because it's very interactive. It's really great when they practice it. The other thing is, we can assign them stuff from other lesson books. So if a student's struggling with certain aspects of their music playing, we can say, everybody open up this book on your smart music stuff, even though they don't own the book, and they can play through many different lesson books as opposed to only the one lesson book that they have. So it gives us options to supplement all the stuff that they're doing. And again, we just talked about that when the students log in, every time they log in, they'll get a message from the teacher. They can get a message from the teacher if you want them to. You know, because don't forget, on Thursday, you have to email me this thing so we know what it is. Okay. It helps students keep a steady beat. One of the big problems in music is students practice incorrectly. If they were in math class and they were practicing their addition tables incorrectly, we would have a problem when they're juniors and seniors in high school. And this happens in music constantly, that kids in fourth and fifth grade practice incorrectly, and sometimes it's harder to teach those students, and it's frustrating for them because they know that they're not doing it right. So this, right away from the beginning, make sure they're playing it right. It's a computer that tells them you're doing it right or you're doing it wrong. You'll see as we assess with this, the students know right away, as opposed to coming to their teacher on Friday and playing it, and the teacher says, oh, that was very good, or it wasn't. They have assessment every time they play. It really works with differentiated learning because the students can do all kinds of things to it, as you can see as we do it. They can speed the songs up or slow them down to make it accessible for them. So we could assign something to the student. They open up and says, please make sure you play this slower and record it again because we're having a problem with it, whatever it has to be. My daughter's a music teacher in New Hampshire, and they use this in her whole district has this, in orchestra and band. And that's what we're proposing, is that every kid in orchestra and band get this. There is a vocal aspect that just opened this year. We really haven't done any research on it yet, and Paul Marchese, who's the new vocal teacher at the middle school, we haven't really discussed it. We're going to try to add that in later on. And as you know, the chorus program is really changing this year. And so one thing at a time, and we'll deal with that next. They just added drums to this. Up till a year and a half ago, there wasn't any drum component to this. But with technology, they keep figuring out more and more things they can do, and now there's a drum component too. Which, you know, 3 or 4 years ago when I was looking at, I wasn't so sure I wanted to do it because everybody couldn't do it. But now everybody in the auction band can do it, so it's a little different, so a little better. One of the benefits that students do, it encourages them to practice. They can record themselves. In fact, Megan Torti, who's in 8th grade band student now, she has this, she bought it. And I was asking her today, I didn't even know she had it until today. She came into class and I was, you know, getting to make sure I had everything worked out today. And she said, I have smart music at home. And so I started asking her, what do you use it for, and all that kind of stuff. And of course, she doesn't know all the stuff that it can do. But what she does know is she's able to self-assess herself and tell her if she's doing it right. So she's already been working with this, and I do have a couple other students who bought it. But as a teacher, I haven't assigned a lot of stuff out of it because everybody's not using it. So we didn't pick our music this year in band, we're going to pick music that's on smart music because we weren't sure everyone can have it. So that's another thing we have to do with that. Playing with accompaniments, you'll see there's accompaniments on every song. So the kids play, if they're playing a scale or something, there's an accompaniment with that scale. Rather than just playing a boring scale, it has all kinds of, you know, all rock beats, you know, country beats, everything. So this makes it more exciting for them. It improves their recognition of rhythms and notes and hearing, makes them listen. Many students in music play but don't listen to what they're supposed to be playing. Know as teachers that they need to listen to themselves. So students can record their assignments and get a percentage grade. So every time they play, they can click on one button, and every time they play the song, we'll give them a percentage of what they did right and wrong. 70%, 80%, you'll see as we go through that. And I'll show you that in a minute. It'll get more complicated with that. One clarification. And this is what, quickly I'll show you what it looks like the next one. It looks like this, but we're not going to talk about it yet because we'll open it up and you'll see it, what it actually looks like. It's hard to see here. But there's all kinds of really cool stuff when we open up, and then I'll show you how that works. Grading has always been a problem in music. You know, when I first started teaching, and how do you grade a kid? You know, you have two students, one student who practices like crazy and doesn't get any place, the other student who never practices and plays amazing. Mm-hmm. How do you grade those kids? Well, now we have an assessment, something that we can do to help grade those kids. And that's what we're working on with this. How do we grade a kid? I know when I was in high school, my best friend, he got a 99 in his report card for 3 years in high school from the band teacher every quarter. And I got a 98. That was the big joke. you know, why did you get 99? Nobody knew. Nobody. You can't qualify. There was no way to qualify. This gives us a way to qualify the age much better, as you'll see as we continue. The teacher, hopefully, with the student's help, can differentiate instruction with them and give students different things to do. In class right now, we have the whole class together. We have to play together all the time. In this case, we can break it down and say, you four should be working on this, you four should be working on that. Much better process and more different. And that's what we really need, because, you know, we all know that all students aren't the same. And right now, we have to teach them at the same. We have 12 prior plays in class. We have to do the same thing. But now we can change it a little bit. And there's little things we can do. It's smart board compatible. I know it is, but I've never used it as much. I can't be using a smart board. I'm doing really well. Am I not? Well, they looked at getting me a smart board, Lori, right? You were going to get one that they couldn't find one called a semi smart board. Teachers can use smart boards in their classrooms to show all this kind of stuff, and that's what we're hoping to be able to do with all this. Band music, so the music you play in band, lesson books, the music you play in orchestra is all on here. Harry Potter books, the kids want to learn to play Harry Potter, you can go download Harry Potter and play Harry Potter, you know. And not one of my favorite songs, but the kids, whatever gets them to practice, that's what we need, whatever we can get them to do something right. There's a large list of music in there and more coming every day. Every day. Every time you open it up, it'll say, you want to look at the new music? No or yes. Download the music. I'm right now working on it. I downloaded the name of every song that they have. And I'm working on all the music that the school has, all the music that they have, trying to put it together to find out what matches. It's a big project. I've been working on it for a while. But hopefully by the summer I'll have it all done, so I'll know what songs we have in there that we can play without going out and purchasing, which ones we have to purchase. You know? And we still have to purchase the music, because obviously the kids in band, they need the music in front of them until we buy iPads for everybody or something. We can go there if we want. But right now we'll just go with the music. So we still purchase the music, but it comes on the computer also. So the students, one of the questions I had earlier tonight was about iPads, and it is going to be for iPads fairly soon, we hope, but part of the problem is the copyright laws for iPads. Is when a student clicks on a song and downloads it onto their computer, somebody keeps track of that on the computer, and the guy who owns the copyright gets something for that, a quarter of a penny or whatever it is that they worked out with them. And if they download it on the computer, now they go to their iPad and download it, they have to figure out what they're going to do. So I think that's the big drawback from what they've said, is that we haven't figured out how to do the copyrights of it. So that's one of the problems, and I'm sure it'll be coming. The teacher's version, however, does work on an iPad. So that's a nice amount. So when you see the grading in a minute as I talk about it, that works on the iPad. Eric, please. That's the end. Let's go to the one. So we'll take a look at what the program looks like. So this is actually the setting screen, how you set up when you're going to play. So the students need to buy a microphone, or they can use the microphone that comes with the computer. The nice thing about this whole setup is Mike Wood doesn't have to do anything with this. This is all done with the kids. He's got enough technology, right? It's done between myself, the students, and the parents. So when the student signs up, when we buy the subscriptions, we give them the code, they get on, they type the code in, the parents put their email in, the kid puts their email in, then it says, do you need a microphone? Well, if you have a Mac, you don't necessarily need a microphone. You can use the microphone that's with it. Mm-hmm. It depends. Then you have to stand right in front of the computer all the time. You know, certain instruments work better with a microphone. Like a tuba, for instance, works really bad with that, because how do you get the tuba close to the microphone? Then it also hears a lot of the music that's coming out of the computer as opposed to hearing the individual person. Mm-hmm. So microphones do work better. PC microphones are actually cheaper, because a microphone for a Mac needs a converter to go to the USB port. But the microphone for a PC just plugs into a regular quarter-inch or 8-inch jack, right? So a little bit cheaper. So when a student goes, gets it open, they just go to mic check. And hey, mic check for me. Actually, I can do it with a smartphone, can I? That work?
You don't have a smartphone, so.
Oh.
Smart music, the healthy set of microphone model. Attach your microphone and show it.
Go to next.
Play the music.
What it's doing is check to make sure that my volume and the accompanying volume will be the same, so that the sound will be good when we do it. Okay, go out of that area. Go to Reasons. Reason play. And let's open up your Grand Ole flag. This is one of the songs we did in the sixth grade classes this year in our lesson book. The name of the lesson book is called Measures of Success. which is a new book that just came out last year, and we went to it. Jan's using a different book in the elementary school. She's using sound
innovations. This year too.
Yeah, and we're using measures of success. And you know, you don't necessarily have to do book one and two of the same company. And so we both went to new books this year. Kind of, you know, where we're going to go next year, we don't know. We haven't talked about it yet. But we're liking this book, and she's liking her book. But we'll compare and see if we get this thing we want to do. So next thing, if you look at the whole interface here, this is where they can change the speed. So any song, they can change the speed. If you can pull that way up, Eric. So you can play the song up, you know, at a ridiculously fast speed, or someone who's having struggling can put it really, really slow. This is the clicker, what's called the metronome, which keeps the beat. It'll click on and off, keeps the beat for the student. You can play loops. You can loop it. Let's say they're having a problem from here to here. They can loop from measure two to three. Two to three, over and over again, over, which is great in certain band pieces. They might have a band piece where they have 8 measures of rest. Nobody's going to practice that. So let's loop the measures that we're having problems with. You know? Well, some kids, you know. Set that up. Over here, you click on my part when I'm playing the trumpet or whatever it's been set up for. That'll play your part along with you. If you click that off, all you have is the accompaniment, and this is the assessment. You can click any of this stuff off, click the assessment off, just put your part on, just play the trumpet part along with it. It's actually a piano that plays your part, not a trumpet, but to play along with the part. And the assessment, as I'll show you, will show you how we assess the student. The tuner is right here where the student can tune up, make sure they're in tune, because, of course, that's a big thing, is make sure your instrument is playing in tune. So the kids have to work with that all the time. When I'll record something in a minute. Right here, if a kid does it 10 times, they'll have 10 takes here. They'll just pull them down. Oh, I just did 10 of them, you know. Mm-hmm. And then, at a certain point, as I show you in a few minutes, he can click on one of them and send it to the teacher. Say, oh, this is my favorite one, number 12. So now the kid's listening to himself. I did 10 of them. Which one do I want to send for a grade to my teacher? It's his responsibility to figure it out. It also, on the teacher's server, it tells you the student recorded for 10 times and he spent 95 minutes doing it. So, you know, if the student's struggling and he spent that much time playing it, we have to figure something out. We have to help him somehow, right? As opposed to, he recorded one time, took 3 minutes, got 100. Okay, we got to move that kid along, right? And that's what we can do with the software. So just to do a little playing real quickly, please, Eric, let's just get it to start. Yeah. Is the volume back on? The note I was supposed to play. In green means I played the right note. So now the student can look and say, visually, I'm a visual person, I don't know how many of you are, but I'm a visual. I can look at that and say, I need to practice right here. Right? The rest of it I did pretty well at. At the end I just played a little harmony, so you can see, it's listen what the harmony I played, what notes I was playing. Yes?
Well, it also show you if you were, you know, like if you're holding a note too long or coming into it.
Yep, it'll show you if you play. I'll do another one in a minute, I'll show you. Eric, can you click on the red note right here? Yeah, here. Ah, it shows you the figuring. So the figuring on the green note is supposed to be played like that. If it clicks on the red note, click on a little higher. Must be missing the right. Yeah, close that one, I guess. I don't know why the hand. Go to another one. You should click on the note and give you the note. There you go, B. You play the note B. Right, as opposed to playing the note G that I was supposed to. So it shows them the right thing on every instrument. On violin, it shows you. Now, in some of the violin stuff, there's different positions, you know, for different notes, and it gives you options. So that when Mr. Torben and I, the auction teacher at Happy this year, worked on this, we found that there's a way to figure out which one it was. And I, you know, I'm not a violin player, I couldn't understand. I said, oh, that's how they do it. So it's a little tricky, I guess, but it does work for the kids. So that's an idea of what they're playing. And this is a band song in the lesson book. Right here, you can listen to it. If you click on that, Eric, you can listen to it for a second. They can adjust the accompaniment and your part to make it louder or softer. My daughter says our biggest problem is the kids that record themselves and don't check the microphone, and when they send it back, like one part's way too loud or way too soft, so she writes a lot of notes, don't forget to listen to yourself. Now the kids are assessing themselves at the same time. So if you stop that for a second, right here, you can keep it, which means you can save it, or you can save it as an MP3 and send it to iTunes. All you do is click on that button, send it to iTunes. It's that simple. If this was set up in my class, it would say right here, send to teacher. And there's another button right there. Click, send this to the teacher. Now, it goes to the website that I have access to. It has a picture of this, so I can look at it. It has the recording, so I can hear it. The person's rated 92. Yes?
Is there an easy way in here? That sounded like maybe second or third part, like if you wanted to move up to first, or is that like a whole different file?
Nope, this is a lesson book itself. So I can show you that in a moment, but if you click up here, Eric, so you can see this. Yeah. In the lesson book, these are what they call opuses, which are like units that you would have in a math class. Opus 1, all the songs on that first unit and the second unit. So that's a little different than your question, but when we go to a band piece in a minute, you'll see it does the same type of thing. So they can pick the flute part if they wanted to. Right here, if Eric goes to a different instrument, whatever, just grab an instrument, doesn't matter. It then goes onto the internet and downloads that part. So now we have the bass kind of part there. Okay? And as you progress, this jazz improvisation stuff, so already I've got this great plan to add jazz improvisation to every single class next year. Not the kids in jazz band, but every kid in band. To do improvisation, which is part of one of the standards, the national standards, that we kind of shy away from and don't do a great job as music educators because it's hard to do improvisation with a big group of kids. This is the perfect opportunity. There's jazz things right on here, rock things. Let's work on improvisation today. There's exercises for it. There's tons of exercise. Eric, close out of it, would you please? Done. Yeah. And now let's go to the song, which was the band song, Jefferson County. So here's one of the songs we played the band this year at the first concert, right? Were you this year? No, that was last year. Last year in the spring concert we played it. This is the trumpet part. If he clicks up here, you'll see that you'll pull any part that you want. So if they want to go to second trumpet or third, boom, they can pull the other part out. So I take him home practicing the second trumpet part and say, I want to try first. Oh, so the second trumpet is much lower, as you see. They can practice that. They can come back, and then they record it and send it to me. Mr. DePaulo, I'm ready to play first. Listen to me play this. What a great opportunity. You know, you see some kids will spend hours, as you know, with technology. You give the kids an opportunity to do something, and they'll figure it out, and they'll do it better than we'll do it. You know, that's how it works, as we all know, right? And that's what's going to happen with these kids. They're going to do some of their own stuff. The speed, if we take this song, and just speed it right up, Eric. All right, so now we'll just play it at the fast speed. Notice how it went really fast. You can see what happened. The question we were asking before. Boom, now show me. See how early I was with the notes? Show me I was early. As opposed to I didn't play the note. I did play the note, but I played it way early. So the students know as they learn this that the red notes mean they're long, the black notes mean they're right. And if you go all the way down, you can play it really slow, so students who's really struggling can play it, you know, even slower, as slow as they want. And Eric, click on that, or start. Try that. Oh. And the kid opens the music and opens small music and it says, don't forget, by tomorrow be able to play it at 90 beats per minute. Play it on 92, and then they just change their tempo to the same thing and send it onto the website and I can look at it and see if they're doing what they're supposed to be doing. So it's got such great possibilities, and every time I do something in class, I say, I can't wait till next year. Because when you have 12 flute players, so I have used it in class this year, I used that at the beginning of the year. The problem with it is when you have 12 kids in class, or 14, or 15, and we record something, the student gets a 96. He's sitting there in front of everybody else, and everybody else knows his score. I don't care. Tell everybody again, I know I can get 100, but we have 12 kids. We have 40 minutes. We can't do it again. So the kid gets one chance to do it, maybe a second, he comes back and lunch. Come back and lunch and do it again. They want to get 100 all the time. I want to get 100. I know I can get 100. I got 99. It's like 9900 is the same grade, right? Right? But they want to do it. They come back at lunchtime at the beginning of the year just so they can practice so they can get 100%. Isn't that great? I mean, yeah, isn't that wonderful?
When you're talking about numbers, I know Carl's in band with you, and yeah. You were talking about how his section is pretty large. So how does something like this help you with our larger sections?
Well, now that all this assessment can be done at home. If I give them an assignment, for instance, the midterm that I gave them, right? They're all practicing the midterm like crazy, right, to be able to do it. They don't have to play it in front of the class, in front of everybody else, and be nervous. So some kids don't want to play in front of other kids, right? Mm-hmm. They get nervous. So I had a lot of kids who opted to come after school, come at lunchtime, all different times to do it, so they didn't have to do it in front of their friends. Now they do it at home. They click send. Mr. DePaulo doesn't have to listen in front of anybody else, right? Now so all the assessment part can be done at home. As teachers, we might have to, when this first came out, I remember workshops 5 years ago when it first came out, people saying, yeah, but what happens if Johnny records it for Bobby and sends it in? You know, I could take any one of my trumpet players, put them in the other room and have them play two notes for me, and I'll tell you who it is.
Yeah.
You know, that's how fast it is. You can tell. It's like people speaking. You can tell them the first word, ooh, and I'm from the East Coast, right? But where's that guy from, you know? Right? You know that stuff right away. And the same thing happens here. You know, so it makes those classes so that you don't have to spend time assessing. You can actually have a little larger classes because this part of it can be done at home. Not so as a teacher, you're going to have to do stuff individually, obviously, and work with the kids, you know, have them come in class and during class or whatever. But this takes a lot of time. Like when I did that midterm in Carl's class, it took us 3 classes to get to every kid. 3 classes. And while they're doing it, everybody else is doing paperwork, you know, let's do theory homework, they're doing music work, but they're sitting there not being taught by a teacher because they haven't been assessed. Now, as a teacher, I decided that was important to do because they need the opposite of that was they had to practice at home and get really good at it, right? And now, so it was worth me spending that time, but even as a teacher, I'm like, oh man, I don't want to hear another one of those kids doing this in front of everybody else. And one kid, you know, gets nervous and, you know, and be done at home. So I think it actually saves a lot of time in class. And I just found like one of the students in sixth grade who has this, he, in the first 2 months of school, he was able to play all the pianos. Whereas everyone else were trying to teach in class, no, it goes like this. He was playing all the right notes already. And I don't think he was in September when we first started the first couple of weeks. But he bought this program, and all of a sudden, by like November, he's like all over the trumpet playing all the right notes. Like, we still, it doesn't read tonguing, so like the tongue is means the staccato note play short here. It doesn't read that kind of stuff, but that's the type of stuff we still have to do as teachers. You know, it's not taking everything out of our hands, but it's giving us a big boost to make sure our students are doing the right thing. It is not iPad compatible, as I said, but the teacher's version is, so I could take an iPad and I could sit at home and listen to the kids' recordings and all that kind of stuff from an iPad and know what the students are doing. I'm not sure if it works on my phone yet, because I never asked that question. So it really is cool, and does work, of course, with violin and viola or cello, all that kind of stuff. And as I said, the drums, it just got on this year. In fact, I've been looking at tons of different drum books to see what we're going to use for drums next year. So, you know, I don't know the answers. One of the questions we had last time from Dr. Reebok was, how is the grading going to work? Like, when a kid records 5 things for me, how are we going to move that grading to pinnacle, which we use? And we don't know the answer to that question yet. So we still, sounds like, I don't envision giving a student a lesson book and saying every song in the lesson book is recorded and sent to me. But everyone records song 5 this week for me, and send it in. Mm-hmm. And we'll do them all in class, but just record that so I have a baseline, like where he's going every week. And we can look at his scores every week and see, you're getting 100% every week. You're really doing great. Or you're getting 40%, now all of a sudden you're getting 70. And now in January, you're getting 95s and 100s. Now we know something is happening. So, and that's our goal, is to get every kid being able to do the right thing. Mm-hmm. We all know that some kids learn by sitting next to someone else and don't really understand what we do in class. You know, and I know that in music specifically, and I really work on that to try to make sure that this kid knows it. He doesn't just listen to the person next to them and follow them. This takes that away. They can't do this anymore. They have to be able to figure it out on their own. You know, they can click off their accompaniment assessments and just play their part. So, Eric, just click on my part and click everything else off, and they can just see how that works really quick, and just go to play. Start. Doesn't matter. Let me see, it just plays the four notes. Now we just play his part and really work on his part. And there is a vocal aspect that just came out this year, as I said. We don't know how it'll work yet. There's tons of music. Can you click off Dunner real quick? If you go into Method Books, for instance, just go to Method Books. These are all the Method Books that are on there. As you see, lots of different Method Books that the kids can use. And we can use any of these that we want. We still have a kid buy a book because we want them to have that book to use all the time. Otherwise, they'll have to buy a computer every time they practice. So they still want their lesson book, but this will be the accompaniment for it. Right now, they have to, if they want to play some of the songs we're playing in class, they have to buy the CDs. So they spend $10 on the CDs anyway. And then, and this is $22 program, you know, so it makes so much more sense. And now they have all these different options of the different books that the kids can use. There's tons of exercises. We don't have time to go over it all, but click on sight reading. In fact, Megan told me she's doing a lot of sight reading in here. It just opens up these sight reading things, and they just practice reading, you know, just to practice reading something new every day. You know, there's tons of jazz improv and exercises here. You know, scales, patterns, and all kinds of things for whether it's classical or jazz, and tons of that stuff is already in there that we can say, everybody play this exercise this week. So that's where we're going with this. And I think that we're on the cutting edge because I think that it's still in its infancy. You know, there's, I don't know how many schools are doing it, there's a lot of schools doing it, but there's thousands of schools. You know, so I think that we're on the cutting edge, and I think all our teachers here are very technology-oriented. And I know that when Jan and Jennifer and I were talking about at the end of the year, they're like, we don't have time to teach it to kids. We're too busy. And then after we started looking at it and saying, oh, we don't have to do anything. The kids, they're using the class right now.
Right.
And the kids know quicker about it than we know. But they understand these interfaces faster than we do. Right? I mean, just, that's why, you know, they grew up in technology. My four-year-old grandson's up there and does stuff like, how do you know how to do that? He's 4 years old, right?
That was my question. How will it be? I mean, is this something specifically just for Hadley, or is this going to be something that's going to be used?
Right from the beginning, when they start signing for violin or band or orchestra, either one, they get this program, and they start right away.
So even in the elementary, you guys will be using it, okay.
Yep.
And then is there any kind of component that, like, Wendy, you would be able to use in your class?
There is. I mean, technically, we could use this with recorders or with drums or, you know, even with some of the guitar stuff that we do. There is a possibility for that, but it would be whole group because getting a subscription for every single elementary student isn't ideal.
Well,
something we could use in the class.
And that, I mean, I realize we wouldn't be purchasing this for every student, but would it be something that you as a elementary music teacher be able to use in your classroom to enhance your lessons as well?
It could.
Mm-hmm. And when I opened it up the other day, there's a new recorder book that's on there now. You know, so there's all this kind of stuff like that. Next year, towards the elementary school, general music teachers, you know. Lots of singing things that you can do that's new this year, because all the stuff just came out. So, I mean, it'll be something that we would hope that, you know, we get everybody involved in. We did do a workshop with all the last time we all got together, and what was it? Did I show something? Yeah, to show them all how it worked and stuff. You know, I think that they'll be able to use it for certain things right now, but it hasn't expanded all the way into general music with all the different things they can do. But there will be some things they can do.
Did they use anything like this at West?
Very good question. John Walsh, last year when I came, it was my first year, I had just left the school where I designed this, put into the program, and they just built a new school. And we built 9 practice rooms around the band room and the orchestra room for using this, with the whole computer out, you know, with all this stuff ready, so the kids can use this in the band rooms, in the practice rooms. And so he was real excited when I told him, I'm hoping to implement it here and work on this. And he's like, you know, I've been thinking about doing it, I just haven't done anything with it yet. So, you know, I've been keeping him updated with what's happening here. I believe that in the next year, once these kids who are 8th graders have it here, the next year he'll put it in the high school. And John Walsh is the high school band director at Weston, and we get along very well. He's a great guy. He's a great band, as you know, I'm sure. Mm-hmm. And he's excited to know that this is going to happen because he wants to implement it too.
Thank you.
Yeah.
This is, as I said, a discussion item on the agenda later on, and you'll have an opportunity to have a brief discussion. I don't think you'll need much discussion time because I think you've seen a great overview of the capacity of this program and its value to our students. So, Jim, thank you, and Jennifer and Janet, thank you for coming. Jennifer and Janet, thank you for coming, participating with us. And Eric, great presentation. Thanks.
Thanks for having me. Is there all kinds of backup plans?
Of course.
Yes, absolutely.
Would you like, I didn't take requests. Is there a Tim Jones?
Can you play Harry Potter?
thank you very, very much. All right. Under action items, we have our consent agenda. Are there any items that board members would like removed from the consent agenda to be considered separately? Hearing none, may I have a motion to approve the consent agenda, which includes human resources, personnel reports, employment recommendations, administrator compensation, leaves of absence, resignation, reemployment or release of probationary non-tenured teachers, resolution authorizing the notice of dismissal to non-tenured teachers other than final year probationary teachers, and other matters which include the board meeting minutes from March 12, 2012 regular meeting and March 12, 2012 regular meeting closed session.
Motion.
Second.
Roll call, please.
Mrs. Howard?
Yes.
Mr. Black?
Yes.
Mr. Ellis?
Yes.
Mr. Smith?
Yes.
Mr. Kenwood?
Yes.
Mr. Vondrick?
Yes.
Mrs. Nelson?
Yes. All right, superintendent's recommendations. Our first recommendation is a topic that you've had lots of conversations around, I believe, since November, and that is the Hadley parking lot. And I think we've had questions that we've answered along the way, and so unless there are further board questions, I don't have anything more to say about the report, and I'll look to Bob to see if you have anything more to say about that either.
No, when we finish here this evening, I'm off to a village board meeting because they're voting on this proposal also.
Okay. The 2012 Hadley parking lot and stormwater project, the administration is recommending that the board approve the bid from Earthworks Land Improvement and Development Corporation in the amount of $1,111,479.99 for Hadley parking lot and stormwater project. May I have a motion to approve this recommendation as presented?
So moved.
Second?
Second.
Discussion? Question?
Well, I voiced some reservations about this project. Not necessarily the project itself, more the timing of the project than the actual project. I do realize that things get old and things need to be fixed and they cost money to be fixed. I do understand that. But my biggest issue is the timing aspect. As we all know, and as I've probably said before, that the uncertainty with the state, the possibility of the less financial aid that we may or may not have, the possibility of the pension liability that's being talked about at great length being shifted to the districts. Other issues as well that are just germane to our own district makes the timing, for me anyway, something that is not right at this point. The other issue, we did talk about the village sharing some costs to make it a good time to do it now. And we've gone through the process and we realized that the village of Glen Allen is going to contribute a small amount. And the city of Wheaton, as far as I know, is not planning on doing anything at this point. So I would say that the advantage of doing the work while the village is doing their work is basically nullified. by the small amount of shared costs, if any. We've also heard that if we don't approve this tonight or this year, that we can do a certain amount of routine maintenance on the parking lot and it can function for at least another year or more. So, given all those reasons, I am not going to be supporting the motion tonight. And I would urge others to express their views as well.
Thank you. Other comments?
May I, you know, I sent you guys an email for me. I would just rather put this into a 21st century classroom environment that we can, you know, show the district and move on. So for me, this is just it does not fall on the priority list.
Thank you, Jim.
Right, I guess I'm the same way. I mean, we had looked initially at, I appreciate all the work you've done, Bob, and Ricky. Looked at some other concepts that were lower cost, and so that's, I would have rather supported that than this. I think it's not, the benefits versus the cost to me. I'd rather see that money get set aside until this pension thing gets maybe a little clearer later this year, or used towards other facilities, classrooms. I think I've beat the drum before on, like, to see upgraded maps on our science laboratory, so why can't we do another option we've looked at that's a lower cost, but still put that money towards something that's inside a classroom rather than on the outside. So that's my main concern for not supporting this.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, the only thing I'd add is, if I were to approve this, which one day I'm sure we will, but I might get through tonight, but I would, with doing both components, I felt just doing the one piece, you were actually creating a greater safety hazard than what we have now. Because you've got the buses dropping off and they've got to cross the car lane. We don't have that today. So I felt that this was not as safe as what we have today without doing the
one piece. So. Mm-hmm. Which is what we have in front of us.
Right. So if it gets approved, I'm glad that, at least from a safety perspective, it seems safer than just doing the one piece of it.
Anybody else?
First I want to thank you guys for at least voicing your concerns or your feelings about not supporting the parking lot. But as a board member who was seated at the time of the Ben Franklin parking lot, many of these same types of concerns were raised at that time as well. And however, we did, as a board, make that decision to go forward with the project, and it was the right one. And those of us who, either as parents or community members in that school area, see the benefits on a daily basis. Not only did it make it safer for the kids, it demonstrated once again that we as a district are good neighbors within the community. You know, this decision, Ann pointed out, is from November, and it's been vetted by our staff. It went then to our finance committee and then finally to the board. And we've worked with the Village of Glen Ellyn, and we've worked with the Village of Wheaton, or the City of Wheaton, to ensure that all the steps on this project have been taken that are what's best for us as a district and fulfilling the requirements of the individual communities. As a district, we budgeted properly for this. Bob and his staff brought this forward in an effort to do what's best for our buildings and for the future of our buildings. And to me, that's part of what it means to be forward thinking and to plan for the future and the 21st century, whether it's learning with inside our buildings or learning within our communities. But I have to say, a lot of the comments that are being made, again, I respect the fact that you guys brought them to the table, but it feels very similar. I feel like we're comparing apples and oranges. There will always be concern about state funding, but we still have an obligation to make decisions for the district, regardless of the funding issues. We still have to do things. We can't be paralyzed by the what-ifs with the state or the timing of decisions that we make. And if that's the case, if we're always going to be paralyzed by the what if, we won't ever make decisions because we will always be wondering, well, you know, we're waiting and we're wondering about how to move forward. And we're moving forward, Don, with these 21st century learning and phasing with the technology. Mike brought these things that came to the finance committee today about more smart finishing smart boards and the iPad. So we're doing those too. This isn't about making the decision between a parking lot and our facility and what's going on in our classroom. These are things that we budget and do in tandem. You know, our board and staff have worked together over the years to make sound fiscal decisions that have led to us trimming the budget. These budget decisions have been made in a way that haven't impacted the students. But that's what a good board and that's what good staff do. We bring these things forward. When we made the decision to abate about $2 million, that in with our $2.7 million to the community, not one of us, and the seven of us here, raised the issue about the concern over a lack of state funding. And all of these issues, and I don't mean to point at you guys, I'm just looking at teachers going, teachers, but the decisions on the pension, those things were all out there. And if that was the concern then, we should have raised that then. But now we're raising it. And $2.7 million is a lot of money. And, you know, we didn't talk about it then. It wasn't raised. And, again, we're required to make decisions about the future of the district. We speak a lot about what the community might think about some of our decisions. And, ultimately, you're right. We answer to them. And we answer to the community. And we answer for those decisions. But, again, we abated over $2.7 million. I didn't receive one phone call, one email, one letter in the mail, one stop in a grocery store, health club, or at school about, thanks, guys, I'm really glad to see you made that decision. Not one. Yet, my gut tells me that when the parking lots and our buildings are falling apart, we're going to get those phone calls from the parents. Because I remember not too long ago, Bob, getting a call from a neighbor to one of our buildings that the tree wasn't trimmed properly. Or hadn't even been trimmed yet. I find that it sounds silly, but I bring it up because that was a tree that wasn't trimmed that we got that phone call about, but not one call about $2.7 million. My point again is this. We have an obligation to maintain our buildings, and we have to make decisions about what it is that we do, and maintaining our buildings is the apple, but always worrying about the what ifs, that's the orange. So I think we just keep it simple. We vetted the process. It's a good decision for the long term of our buildings.
Yeah, and Tara, just so we're clear, when this came up back in November, I did tell everyone on the board that, you know, I was leery of this because, for me, I would rather take $1 million and go set up those 21st century classrooms in our vision.
It's not mutually exclusive, John.
They're not mutually exclusive.
You can spend $1 million on classrooms right now if you want.
It's a priority.
Mm-hmm. Why didn't you spend the $2.7 million at $8 million?
And by the way, when we did talk about the $2.7 million, I had brought up that we should not just be looking at the $2.7 million, we should be looking at everything that's happening because the next 3 years we have $4 million worth of projects over the next 3 years. So that's $12 million. So I specifically said that we should look at this as a package in totality, not just do these one pieces. So, at least from my perspective, I've been saying that pretty consistently for a long time. By the way, in terms of a decision, I'm not saying this is a bad project, and it is a project that will need to get done. I just think that in the totality of everything that we need to do, this does not fall in my priority. That's all. I think I've said that pretty consistently since November.
Thank you. Thanks, Tara. Thanks, John.
Well, I would also say, just I don't want to get into a large disagreement about why we did this and why we did that, but I just want to make it clear that I never did say that this was a bad project. I said the timing was bad, and I gave the reasons for the timing being bad. It may be bad next year as well. But at some point, obviously, it will have to be done. And, you know, as I agreed with you know, the statement that, you know, things have to be done and they cost money to be done. Mm-hmm. That's not the point here. If we're going to do apples and oranges, that's not it. You know, so The surplus was the surplus. We as a board decided that we had more than we needed, so we made a decision. I mean, that doesn't have anything to do with should we give this money back or not.
When you start bringing up, I'd rather spend this money on X instead of Y, everything in terms of revenue, you're bringing into consideration. So you are doing that.
Well, I didn't say I won't spend any money on anything. I said I don't want to spend this money right now. And I gave my reasons why.
And like I said, I started my comments with I respect and appreciate that you guys brought to the table what your reasons were. Mm-hmm. And by the same token, my comments are to remind everybody that we still have decisions to make, and we make priorities, and there we have facility decisions that have to be made, and you cannot live on the what ifs. And John's right, we look at things in a totality, but maybe that's what we should do, but maybe that's not what we did. We still have decisions to make. We still have things to do, and that's what we need to do. You're entitled to your opinion. The vote is what the vote is. But Steve's right. When you start looking at revenue and how money is spent and how money is brought in and thinking about the future, then you have to look at every decision that's made is looked at on that spectrum. And, you know, a surplus, you could have said the surplus was sitting there for a rainy day. We could have not done that, saved it, and put it, you know, and continued to save it for a rainy day for another future decision. So I'm just suggesting by my comments, you can take, I call the question to vote. You know, we've all made our comments. I'm sorry, Drew or...
Well, I would make one other comment. Just there is synergy to do it this summer. I mean, even despite you're saying, well, there's only a monetary reason. When Hawthorne's all torn up and you've got big, you know, trucks running, if they repave all that, they may say next year you can't, you know, use any of those trucks down Hawthorne or something because it's just been redone or something. There may be other considerations. It does make sense to do this while the rest of Hawthorne is all torn up.
If I might just make a statement about all of this. I mean, we do try to look at everything in the totality, and I think in this particular case, our view of the totality and how the priorities line up and where we might place some of the priorities that you've mentioned into our mix, some of those fall more readily into our master facilities work, and we, I think, are in alignment with those priorities. We just may not be on the same page in terms of our timing for that. So, I mean, I think the dissension is about when and how, and you may have disagreement with our timeline on this one, and, you know, we'll see how that goes. But I certainly appreciate the comments that you're making.
Yeah, I want to...
Both in terms of support for the project and not in support of the project at this time. And
yeah.
I want to...
Go ahead, Joe. Go ahead.
You know, if I don't, you want to... I think it's a good project. I think it makes a lot of sense. I'm very much in favor of the project. However, if I had clear reason to be concerned of a issue with state funding, I would say, okay, let's push it aside. I'm not clear. I don't have a clear sense that we're going to be hit this year with the pension liability. If I knew we were going to have that, I would think very hard about if this made sense. But I don't think that's the case this year. So I have to admit that I think this is a good project, and I think we should move forward.
Thank you, Joe. Sam already said this, and I think maybe Dan did too, but I want to thank Bob and his staff because this, as Ann noted and Tara noted too, this has been on the table since November. We've had a lot of information, lots of really good questions back to Bob and Phyllis, and a lot of good board questions to make sure that we got all the information we needed, and I really appreciate that. And I think in the end that, you know, one of the things that, question that I've asked Bob several times, but also Ann as well, is the question about are these
is this a project that would put us in jeopardy in terms of our budget? And the answer has always been no. And asked very directly, would you pull this project if in fact it was? And the answer has been no. And
yes.
So,
if it was.
Yes, if it was. But it's not. And so the project moved forward, the recommendation moved forward with adjustments by the village, et cetera. So I think we all, you know, are on John's bandwagon in terms of programming 21st century learning. And I do know that Bob has said to us also that, you know, this project has been in the mix. It's come to on the table at this particular time for several reasons, aligned to the village, et cetera. And that we're moving on, to John's point, too, with new capital projects. And that that 2020 plan is keeping us on top of staying ahead of infrastructure issues that we need to make sure we manage. So for me, those were significant questions, and I asked them over a period of time, even up until a couple of weeks ago. So thank you for willingness to continue to answer those questions. Okay, roll call, please.
Mr. Black?
No.
Mr. Ellis?
Yes.
Mr. Smith?
No.
Mr. Kenwood?
No.
Mr. Bondurant?
Yes.
Mrs. Howard?
Yes.
No.
Yes. Thank you. The second is construction use and indemnification agreement, Glencoe Street between Hawthorne Boulevard and Thomas Road. I know that this was excluded inadvertently from board book, but we do have a copy on the blue sheets so that people have a copy of that. The administration recommends that the Board of Education approve the indemnification agreement between the City of Wheaton and Glen Ellyn School District 41 for construction on Glencoe Street between Hawthorne Boulevard and Thomas Road, which is the additional piece of the project. May I have a motion to approve this recommendation?
So moved.
Second?
Second.
Thank you. Discussion?
I'm assuming our attorney looked at this.
Of course. Yes.
Yeah. And thank you for finding this and making sure we had
the agreement was in board book.
It was.
For some odd reason, we just didn't get that one pushed up, and fortunately, Maureen was looking through it all today and caught it. And otherwise, you wouldn't have had it even this evening because none of us caught it.
Okay. Roll call, please.
Mr. Ellis?
Yes.
Mr. Smith?
No.
Mr. Kenwood?
Yes.
Mr. Bondurant?
Yes.
Mrs. Howard?
Yes.
Mr. Black?
For the sake of consistency, no.
You don't want the district indemnified?
Just finish the
I do,
the roll
but
call.
The
discussion is over. I
finished the roll call.
Finish the roll.
Thank you.
Mr. Nelson?
Yes. Okay, third item, 2012-2013 student fees. At its March 12th meeting, the board discussed the administration's recommendation to hold student basic and activity fees at the current level for the 2012-2013 school year. May I have a motion to approve this recommendation as presented?
So moved.
Second.
Okay, discussion.
Wasn't there an action item that came out of this? Or?
No. There was a discussion raised at our last meeting about whether we should waive fees. I think Sam raised that question that we should not charge fees next year. We provided him with information about what the generation of those fees results in and that it goes into the general fund. We did say that if you didn't want to do fees next year, that best way to approach this perhaps would be to vote this motion down and then propose another motion.
Yeah, I did ask what the differentiation was. I sent Bob an email today, and Bob did provide me some information. If I'm reading it correctly, total student fees are generated, basic fees and activity fees are around $350,000. And if you separate the two,
the basic fees are about $255,000.
Basic fees are $255,000, and the activity fees make up the difference of $120,000
approximately,
30 something ish. Yeah, my position is still the same. My feelings are still the same. That you are our stakeholders, taxpayers, parents, as we all are included, pay our taxes. We pay a pretty substantial amount, and my position is I think that's enough, and I think that the basic fees should be waived, but the activity fees should remain in place. So I guess in terms of procedure, then I should make a motion.
No, no, we need to vote on this motion.
Okay. That's my position.
Yeah, I guess I would say, yeah, I've always been interested in trying to eliminate these just to simplify all our lives. But it sounds like we built the budget around this year, so I would support it, but I would like the idea of revisiting this as a way to just simplify. So.
Mm-hmm.
Wasn't the budget built over the summer?
Well, we're building the budget right now. You'll see the first rendition of that probably at our next meeting in finance.
So that if there was change to this, it could be reflected in that?
We'd have to adjust the budget, correct.
Mm-hmm. I'm still trying to understand the motivation on this small user fee.
Well, I think it's what you've already kind of heard. You know, people talk about free public education. Talk about the taxes that are being paid. I brought up the idea last time that we now have a fiscal policy of a reserve percentage. I didn't believe we're above that, so then the discussion is, what do we do with that? Suggested that this be one area that we could apply that towards if we choose to do that.
You mean do a deficit budget?
No, the reserve.
That would make a deficit budget. If we were to transfer... If we were to use the reserves as part of our operating funds.
Right. I mean, it would depend on what the surplus is that you bring in from taxes.
Well, sure, it's a deficit.
It may or may not be a deficit. It depends, usually we're, $600 to $1 million over.
In which case it would not be.
Right.
Mm-hmm. Do you feel there's community support for this? Broad support for the whole community? Have you gauged that?
I've heard comments that have asked me, along the lines of the free public education. Why do we have to pay these fees?
And this is from people whose kids have already gone through the district?
Or kids that are currently in the district.
Okay. That would be the primary beneficiaries of not paying the fees anymore.
Well, again,
have you asked people who have no kids in school whether they think it's good?
I think, Steve, I think what you may be hitting on is what we talked about last time was if we do charge this, could we then reduce our tax, which we don't. We still levy the same amount of taxes, so there's no benefit or non-benefit to people that don't have children in school, which I think is what you're asking. If you have a point you'd like to raise, I'm not quite sure what your...
Every school district has some minimal user fees. I see nothing wrong with that, maintaining that, especially for the parents have already paid all those and all of a sudden just eliminate it. I think it's fine.
We're also having iPads. Kids have already gone through school. They didn't even have iPads. I mean, there's always some sort of a flux or change.
That sounds like we need to vote on this.
Vote on it before we
and then we can.
It just seems we're making up the budget here and for it and what are priorities.
Well, I think it sounds to me like that's really the issue, is to have a more concerted or discerned conversation around use of fees, application of fees, et cetera. So are we ready to take a vote? Let's call the vote. Roll call, please.
Mr. Smith?
No.
Mr. Kenwood?
Yes.
Mr. Rondeau?
Yes.
Mrs. Howard?
Yes.
Mr. Black?
No.
Mr. Ellis?
No.
Mrs. Nelson?
Yes. Okay, that's
Thank
it
you.
For our action items. Superintendent's report. You have your enrollment report as a part of your package, and there's not much there to say other than, I'll let Sam say it, what do we have?
As of this month, 473 students in portables at Lincoln, Franklin, Forest, Glen, and Churchill, and Steve, it does not include Bentley, as you correctly asked.
Thank you.
The other two items that I would just raise for you is to just let you know that we've completed our listening tour at all of our schools relative to the reorganization of the technology structure. Mike and I attended each school. We finished at Hadley on Thursday of last week, and felt that we heard some very similar things, common themes throughout each of the buildings, so we're glad that we did it. There were some things we learned, particularly related to teacher professional development needs, and we certainly were affirmed and reinforced the importance of the roles of the people in those positions currently and how much they are valued by each of our schools. We have a compilation of some themes, which I will be happy to share with the board at some point if you're interested. We believe that by having gone and listened, we have some insights into what we have to be very conscious of next year as this reorganization unfolds, and things that we'll want to monitor and stay on top of it, perhaps introduce in terms of a new way of looking at job-embedded professional development at those sites. And then finally, I think you've all had touched on the conversation a little bit here as it related to the Hadley parking lot, but the whole legislative morass and the issues that are surrounding all of us with a lot of question marks regarding the future of funding, particularly the pension funding, but not just pension, but transportation, which would have the least impact on us, but then general state aid, which could potentially have a significant impact on us, particularly if they look at that formula. Right now they're looking at reducing one GSA payment to us this year, and potentially next year two GSA payments. So there are a lot of uncertainties on the state funding level, and one of the most unfortunate things for us is that we will have our draft budget to you by the time the state legislature reconvenes from its April recess to even begin to look at its budget considerations. So we're clearly out of sync with each other in terms of timing, but you know, so it goes with so much of what we do with funding. We levy in the fall, we budget in the spring, and we find out from the state in the summer whether or not there'll be any money that we thought there might be. So we will continue to monitor it, and it may be that there'll be a point in time where we'll ask you to weigh in on some of the ideas that we have proposed and whether or not we want to, you know, raise our voice around some of those. But we'll continue to monitor, and I will continue to give you updates as I receive them as well. That's it for this evening.
Can I ask a question about the listening tours?
Sure.
So is that a part of was that an annual process, or was that as a result of the reorganization?
That was a result of people saying they, you know, had things they wanted to talk about, and we felt that it would be helpful. We had spoken with Sue and Jeannie about this, and they had heard from people, and so, you know, in our conversations with them, we felt that probably the best thing to do is to go to each building and let people speak to us, and so we haven't done, we've certainly done this type of thing before, but this was definitely an exception.
Mm-hmm. I just, is a normal part of the process when we do a reorganization like that to go listen before making a reorganization, or is that sort of complicated?
It's kind of complicated.
Okay.
If people's lives are involved, it's kind of complicated to ask people what they think about that. And so that made this delicate, and we've done other reorganizations where individuals' futures have been impacted, but not with the reaction that we've received with this particular reorganization. So we've been reorganizing for, you know, quite some time, but with less reaction.
This has definitely been one of the most vocal feedbacks I think
clearly
I've gotten in a long, long time. So do we feel, and I don't know if this is close session for this county, but do we feel the right decision was made still?
We do.
We do. We feel that there are some things we've learned in the listening that we need to pay attention to in the fall and we need to monitor. But we feel that this still is the best decision for the organization and to be able to manage and take care of the, not only the machinery we have, but to, you know, to just to move ourselves forward. Now, we do want to monitor student access, student time, and we believe that the way we've reconfigured the library media aides is that, that nothing changes there, really, in terms of student contact time.
Yeah, so there was a lot of misconception that warranted the one-on-one talks to just make sure everyone was on the same page and all those questions were answered.
The questions were answered. I'm not sure we're on the same page, but the questions were answered and we tried to clarify those misconceptions that...
Well, it's also complicated because the future state hasn't been fully defined.
Correct.
Right.
So you might address... So now you know how to address the issues that have surfaced from a future state perspective. So.
Right. Well, and I also think that some of the things we've learned about the learning for teachers and some of the professional development needs that they have, those need to be addressed and should be addressed in the way that's appropriate, you know, in a fashion that provides that kind of learning and not in the moment, I'll help you fix this and teach you how to do that. You know, we learned that there's some significant learning needs that are out there.
And I want to thank all the board members. I know that we've all received lots of emails. We got another one today. And I received, I think, 4 requests to meet over coffee, which I did. And certainly all of that is helpful because it, you know, allows for actually some good communication and outreach. And so I want to thank board members because I know that this was important for us to be able to pay attention to. And thanks, Anne, for being willing to pull those themes together for the board as well.
And I've actually had some parents talk to me about it. Very supportive of the decisions that were made and... we're very acknowledging about the emotional aspect and the people mm-hmm. aspect of it, mm-hmm. but also recognizing that the needs, some of the changes that need to be made and that, it's, you know, there are people who are supportive of the decision.
Mm-hmm. I would also mirror, mm-hmm. I would mirror Tara's thoughts and Steve's thoughts as well. There was a lot of misconception and people that I spoke to and had questions for me. I think every one of them had the wrong idea. Mm-hmm. And then as soon as I explained it the best that I knew, then they mm-hmm. agreed with me, or said they agreed with me, that it was the right decision to be made. Mm-hmm. So I think that was probably one of the biggest
information.
I'm kind of jumping ahead, but when I was at the Forest Glen PTA meeting, it was the day after our last board meeting, mm-hmm. I had a lot of similar questions, and people were like, well, how are we going to change up the books, or how do you do this, and then Mary Morissette kind of helped walk through, well, here's what they already do today, and this is going to be the model for going forward. Mm-hmm. So I think that helped answer a lot of those questions.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Well, I think one of the things that, you know, again, Webb, this is, you know, because there are people involved in this, and there's the emotional attachment that we all have for our staff. I think it's one of the interesting things I see a lot in this community is we have one step in the future and one step in the past, and some of, you know, decisions that are made are about bringing 21st century learning and moving forward with how we educate kids. But we as parents and community have a vision of what it was like when we were kids, and it's hard to kind of move forward while, you know, still holding on to what we remember what it was like. So I know none of these decisions were easy for any of you guys to make as people were involved, and you know, thank you for listening.
Mike did a great job.
Thank you, Mike. Thanks, Dan. Well, we're on to board reports. Do you want to start?
Can I just, did we skip board and discussion items?
No, that's next.
Oh, all right.
It's
sorry.
Right after board reports.
Oh, okay. I'm looking at it going, why did I miss that? Okay, got it. Sorry.
So just to finish up, at the Forest Glen PTA, which was almost a month ago after our last board meeting. the other question, and I already shared some of this with them, was they had a request they wanted some more communication to parents around the gifted program.
Thank you.
So that was some of the feedback that I got there.
I attended the PTA council meeting on March 19th, and a lot of things were discussed. Dan and Erica were both there. The two topics that dominated the meeting were Karen Carlson's presentation about the Common Core and the gifted services rearrangement and the library reorganization. And I would also like to thank Mike for that very good explanation to the members of the PTA Council as to the logic behind the reorganization. And
you indicated your support. Thank you very much.
I indicated my support as well for what it was worth. But I do think it, coming out of the meeting, I think that there might have been some disagreements, but I think everybody understood the logic behind it. So thanks again, Mike and Ann, of course, for that. And the policy, we'll do policy now.
Absolutely.
The policy committee met March 13th. Was that before the last board meeting or not? But even if it was March 13th, and then we met again April 5th, reviewed section 4 of the policy manual, as well as policy 720, the harassment, the student bullying policy, and policy 2110 and 2150 about the board duties and officer duties specifically. Made some changes to 2150, which will come to the board, the full board, for a first reading April 23rd, second reading and adoption on May 14th. We finished the first half of section 4 on the first meeting, second half this last week. Nothing substantive to section 4 other than updating and making sure that it coincides with the school code. So that's where we are with policy.
Thanks for that. Thanks, Jim.
Other board reports? I attended the Hadley PTA meeting on March 13th, and there were three guest speakers, I guess you would call them. Jeff Foyt, I always pronounce his name wrong, from Glen Bard Rest, who's the assistant principal for instruction at Glen Bard West. And then Tori Griggs, who's the principal for summer school at West, also a dean, and Amy Velasquez, who's the principal for summer school at Glen Bard South. And they came as a request by the Hadley PTA to do a presentation on transition, which was very interesting. But there were two takeaways that I just want to share with the board and for the record, and really directed to the work that we're doing here and to Hadley. And the first one was that they have seen in just the last couple of years what Jeff called a real-time connection to Hadley students, in that, and this is his quote, that there is a developed mastery toward clear goals that the students are bringing in that are ahead of students from other feeder districts. And so in some ways that's our standard-based report card system operating, and also teachers being much more explicit as well as implicit about that in the classroom. So that was a nice pat on the back. And the other thing he mentioned is that the Explore scores, which are that kind of first assessment helping to assess some of their freshman classes, et cetera, and kind of interests, are the highest for Hadley among all the districts, feeder districts. So it was nice to hear that, and that they have the data to support that. And he said something about our staff and faculty, and also kudos to Karen and team as well. The other thing of note is something I think we've seen in E-News, thanks to Julie for putting this out, and this is a first effort through the Hadley PTA at this Powerful Outstanding Women conference that is for girls and mothers, 6th, 7th, and 8th grade as an audience, and several workshops supported by both parents in the district and also some other speakers. It's on April 14th, a Saturday. I think if board members who are male would like to attend, they would be more than welcome. It starts at 8 o'clock with a keynote speaker and goes until noontime. It should be just a nice connection to some of the work being done in the school in terms of PBIS and some other tools. So they're very excited about it. And kudos to Beth Fawcett, PTA president, for doing a boatload of work on that. And that was Hadley PTA.
You know, we've gotten a lot of emails, or at least having daughters, a lot of the female teachers have sent out a lot of emails to the kids about the POW. And I thought about contacting them about what about including fifth graders, because I'm hoping that attendance is high and Saturday mornings are tough going into spring with spring sports and other activities. Yeah. Hoping that it might be a really nice opportunity for fifth graders who've never been to welcome them into the building. Mm-hmm. But it looks like a really great event. I'm hoping that they have the turnout. I wish I know a lot of teachers have sent out emails encouraging the girls to go.
Yeah. That's it. No other board reports, right? Thank you. Discussion items.
Our first item is our paper bid results. As you know, this is an annual bid for paper, and we look to get the lowest price possible with the same comparable paper that we currently have, and that is for the Hammer Mill. That's the brand we kind of put out and say it's something that's either that brand or similar. And our lowest bid this year goes back to Unisource, which is where our current vendor, and we're actually getting a little bit cheaper price than we did last year. So in our last bid, so our paper will be about $1,000 cheaper.
$1,900. Mm-hmm. Yeah, I don't know if this makes any appropriate in this discussion, but since we've gone to board book, has our paper consumption gone down at all?
Slightly. Ours? Slightly, yeah.
But the district,
we don't use as much as the district uses. The buildings still use a great deal of paper, and we do have a goal of reducing our paper consumption by, I can't remember what the percentage is, 25% or 50%, something like that, by 2015. But, we're hoping with the infusion of more technology in our schools that we will see less paper being used. We certainly are conscious here, and Mike is our Jiminy Cricket on our shoulders. For every meeting I'm at and where he's at, and no paper. You saw he came to finance meeting with his netbook, not any paper. So
all board
we're working
members,
on it.
All board members are paperless now.
No.
Well, I have my paper. But I printed out my own paper.
And computerless.
Nice. Yeah. Just every once in a while, I have to have one thing in front of me. But good. Thank you for that. And this
I
comes
still have to
have
my journal.
You have to have your journal. And so we come back on April 23rd with this.
Sure. I can't find whatever I wear.
Okay.
Our next item is smart music. I don't know that I need to say much about that. The smart music it looks like a great opportunity for our students. You'll notice the cost as you look down in the report that it is a per student cost and then a teacher subscription and then the purchase of the microphones. We would anticipate that our cost for next year would be $19,634 essentially, and with an annual renewal based on the number of students that we'd be.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I was curious, 700 I guess licenses. Mm-hmm. Is that how many kids go through our music program?
In fourth grade through eighth grade.
So 700 kids licensed.
Mm-hmm. It's a big number.
And growing. Mm-hmm. Great news. We sometimes are like, we're going to put them all.
Yeah.
Facilities become an issue.
I did have one question. I know through MEF they do scholarships, but there are some students who are supported, financially with instruments. And I know that through community outreach, there was a request at the beginning of the year to help to subsidize for the cost of their some of their music books. So, there's a charge here of $15 for the microphone.
We are currently trying to work out how we are going to put instruments in the hands of all of our students.
Mm-hmm.
Now, if a student is a waiver student, they would not be paying for their books.
But we have been in conversations with MEF about that's not their main role, and how, and so we split that this year in terms of getting as many students as we could. It's a huge challenge because it's a little bit of a bottomless pit that we have. We're working to assess how we can partner with the instrument rentals to carry that burden to the extent that we're able to do so and sustain it.
Yeah.
I'm sure that if there are microphones that we'll have on hand, but we would look to have, you know, the purchase of the $15
yeah.
fall on the call on the families to do that.
Mm-hmm. So are these, like the student subscription and the microphone, are those costs passed down to the students, or are they...
Just the microphone. And the other thing, you know, I mean, we're looking at... Pardon me?
They own the microphone.
Yeah. The problem is, you know, you're putting your microphone on your instrument, and, you know, so it's just easier to have your own microphone. We also are looking at how we will provide access to our labs for those students who may not have the technology, in which case we would probably have the microphones available in the school because we're setting up the whole structure in the school. Wildcat Workshop is one arena that we're looking at for an after-school program for students who wouldn't necessarily have the internet and have that technology at home.
Oh, the software looks great. I wish I had this in grade school.
You might be a professional musician.
I could have been. Yeah.
Could have been a contender. well, with I mean, John, you have a student in band, right?
I think so.
Yeah, I'm just confirming because you had mentioned this before, and my son's in eighth grade symphonic, and you know, he has come home and said, you know, the practice time is so big that there are times, as Jim just described tonight, where there he's doing less teaching and more kind of that individual stuff, which is important, and the assessment's important. It has to be in the moment, but I really see this. I mean, I was glad to see on the slide this idea of really the language differentiated learning, which is common language for us, and that it happens in all aspects of our curriculum, whether it's fine arts, core subjects, you know, PE, all of that. So I think it just adds great continuity for what we're trying to accomplish. And the fact that Jim has experience with this from New Hampshire is a bonus because it's a, there's no learning curve. It's, you know, for him at least, in order to get this rolled out and to engage with Wendy still here, you know, classroom music educators as well. So really, really interesting, cool.
I think we should make sure, though, that recorders cannot be used at home.
Yes. That is an intro there to bring it home, Dan.
I tell kids they may not annoy any living, breathing thing, including plants, dogs, parents,
and others. Queen bees are hard to take sometimes.
Or recorder. Well, thank you. Thanks for having Jim come and do the presentation.
Yeah, it's interesting you use the word differentiated learning in there. I would have thought that was more actual tracking. That's for a philosophical discussion.
No, I think I was thinking the same thing because I had the visual, the auditory. You know, I mean, that's the great thing is you had kind of a mix of different ways of learning.
Right, yeah. And that kids, you know, his point about kids not needing to hear, to your Dan's point, the piece and then they pick it up. But for me, the differentiated piece is that kids are, you know, coming in and not practicing, they're naturally behind. And as he's described it to the children, to the students, when they come for rehearsal, that's rehearsing, that's not practice. And so part of the messaging is around, this is a tool to get kids up to speed. And, I mean, if we've got first ratings for band and orchestra, you know, now, you can imagine the kind of improvement that could be made, you know, with something like this. So it's very interesting.
I think one of the best pieces is student ownership of their own learning, you know, the... we've been talking about
desire to get 100%.
I mean, that a student has the ability to take charge of his or her learning and set goals, and I think that's very much aligned with what we're
in a safer environment for a lot of them too.
Yeah,
very interesting.
Okay, that's it.
All right, upcoming meetings, April 16th, 2012, special meeting at 5:30 here at the Central Services Office for the Board, Board Celebration Governance Workshop.
And then on April 23rd, 2012, our regular meeting at 7:30 back here at the Central Services Office.
Churchill. Tonight was scheduled at Churchill.
We've already been at Churchill. Remember?
Wherever, yeah.
We're done with, we're done at the school.
Oh,
done
with the door.
We've been to every school.
Any other matters to be considered by the board at this time?
Oh, I'm sorry. Can I have a, I have a question.
Sure.
I've been asked several times. Do we? When do we finalize the last day of school? Did we do that? And the Hadley graduation, if I get another...
Hadley graduation is already set. It's in the calendar for May 30th, which
okay.
is the last day of school. Should there be no emergency day?
Okay.
I think Mr. Kenwood has requested
Mr.
to give
Kenwood
a speech.
Mr. Kenwood has requested it.
Does anybody have any...
No.
I'll say two words.
Goodbye.
Lovely.
Good luck.
Good luck.
Yeah, can I be the best at husband?
I think that would be only fair.
And thank you, Jim, for wanting and being willing to do that. Public participation, is there anyone present who'd like to address the board at this time? All right. Adjourn to closed session. The board has determined it has a need to adjourn to closed session to discuss the following matters. Collective negotiating matters between the district and its employees or their representatives, or deliberations concerning salary schedules for one or more classes of employees, the purchase or lease of real property for the use of the district, including meetings held for the purpose of discussing whether a particular parcel should be acquired, and the appointment, employment, compensation, discipline, performance, or dismissal of specific employees of the district or legal counsel for the district, including hearing testimony on a complaint lodged against an employee or against legal counsel for the district to determine its validity. May I have a motion to adjourn to closed session?
Motion. Second.
Roll call, please.
Mr. Black?
Yes.
Mr. Ellis?
Yes.
Mr. Smith?
Yes.
Mr. Kenley?
Yes.
Mr. Von Grant?
Yes.
Mr. Crowley?
Yes.
No.
Yes. There'll be no action when we return to open session.